which is odd because I'm only paid cash in hand, which means that I spend 20 or 30 pounds more every week than I actually have. And this money is like the money that I'm spending on coffees for homeless and everything. And God is just providing every week. I just see I'm overspending or receiving things. So yeah, that was it. Money miracle.
I love that. A generous heart, God, you cannot outgive him. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to stand and we're going to honor Nathan as he brings the word. So let's stand. Let's really honor him as he's prepared to bring the word of the Lord.
Cool. So I'm really glad, Helena, that you gave opportunity then for people just to celebrate what God's done in the last week, and especially like your job, Tom, because it fits exactly what I'm going to speak with this morning about, like journeying and pioneering through life and just how God makes us out of that. Cool. Just want to thank you to the worship guys as well, Claire and Amy. That was awesome. Like, I didn't want it to end, not because I was speaking, but it was just a really great time of worship. So thank you, because I know it's so hard when you're on your own. So thank you for that. Also, I just want to give a notice. On the 12th of March, we've got a guest speaker coming. I was looking at some online reviews of this person, and one of them was rated good by Ofsted in 2013. Another one is 5-star guest review on Airbnb. And the last one is probably the best wife I've ever had. So make sure you're here on the 12th. Naomi's going to preach the house down. Cool, yeah, so I'm gonna talk on mountains today, and earlier this week I'd literally maybe listened to 15 podcasts trying to find something to speak about, and I felt God really clear, just tell me, actually, I want to speak to you about something. So I just went away and spent some time with God, and this is what's come out of it. So this time last year, me and Naomi and her parents, we went to Switzerland for Naomi's 60th birthday. Sorry. So I played golf yesterday when it was snowing, and I don't think I fully recovered. So we were like putting the balls, and they were just turning into snowballs when they're going over the green. Yeah, so anyway, we went away for Naomi's mum's 60th birthday to a place in Switzerland that's in the Alps. And do you remember where it was? I don't. Belvald. It's one of these places that the Swiss keeps themselves. They don't like tourists spoiling it. So to hear English there, I was quite frowned upon. And also, we went basically to ski and down the mountain. And I'd never skied before. And so I was like, this is fine, absolutely fine. I will go and I will get skiing lessons from an instructor. So we went along to the tourism office and we were like, oh yeah, like, can we get some ski lessons for adults? And they were like, no, we don't do adults. We only do children. Because Switzerland's one of these places where you bring your kids up on the slope. And literally, you had men holding their children between their legs on skis. And they weren't holding poles or anything, like hurtling down the mountain. And no wonder those countries are so resilient and sort of like forward thinking. And just they have grit and edge about them. It's because they put their kids on mountains when they're 3 years old. So anyway, we ended up sort of striking a deal with the tourism office. And we were like, okay, what happens if it's three of us? Because I think knowing you'd skied when you were like 18, so it was about, you know, a good, well, not many years ago. And I think your dad had skied in the past as well, but he was a bit, I think it was some time ago that he skied. So they said, okay, we'll do it. We'll do 3 days and we can practice skiing. And so we turn up on the first day, you know, we'd rented all of our gear, and this German bloke turns up and he's like, oh, what's his name? We'll call him Hannes. So anyway, he turns up and we were on this really, really small bit of like snow. It must have been this big because there wasn't really like a learning slope or anything. It was just the main piece. So he was getting us to do pizza slices. And if you don't know what that is, it's where you, on your skis, you turn your legs inwards to sort of try and like push the snow away so it slows you down and creates friction. Anyway, I'm not very good at those pizza slices. Other ones, yes, but not those ones. And I just couldn't get the hang of it. And, you know, I can make excuses saying there's not much movement in my right knee, but I just couldn't do it. And he kept persisting with me and I just couldn't do it. Anyway, he was like, right, let's try you down this little slope. And for me, it was like looking down of like just eternity. Anyway, so he sets me off, and I'm flying down this thing, unable to stop. And I think, like, instincts kicked in, and I did, like, a... And I stopped on my side, and he was like, "Oh, you made it to level two. We didn't even have to do level one." Sorry, that's not a German accent. And if anyone's from there, I apologize. And I was like, "No, no, 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 I didn't." Like, I did... So then he was like, "Oh, let's do it again," and I couldn't do it again. But this guy was convinced that I could stop and slow myself down. And because Naomi and her dad were like, they were pretty good, they were, you know, decent, he was like, "Right, let's go up the mountain." And I was like, yeah, all right, let's go up the mountain. So we went to the top of the mountain, and he just starts taking us down this run. And I'd developed a way of stopping that I was pretty proud of. It was basically find any snow that looks like it'll stop you and fall into it, and that'll stop you. So he'd start me off, and he'd do this amazing thing, actually. He'd put his hands around my waist, which a man has never done to me before, and he'd, like, ski backwards like this, and then he'd, like, push me backwards, and then he'd almost wait for me to come to him again. And it was amazing, but then he got sick of that quite quickly and tried to get me doing it on my own, and I just couldn't do it. So I remember I was shooting along at one point, unable to stop, so I sort of fell into the snow, and it was quite waist high snow. So what happened is my legs went in first, and then my body just twisted, and so my bad knee, it got really bad, and I was unable to ski. So that was my way out of skiing. So I think this was maybe on the Monday, and we were there till the following, well, till the Saturday. So, and I think your dad had basically said he'd stop as well because his back was hurting. So yeah, I stopped skiing, and we basically bought these lift passes, and they can be quite expensive, but it's so worth going up the mountains because, you know, the view's amazing, and they have some, like, nice cafes and stuff. So I'd go up, and you sort of sit on this ski lift, and for anyone that's been skiing before, you sit on this ski lift, and I became overwhelmed with how, like, peaceful it was and how quiet it was. And I appreciate the snow's there to, like, absorb the sound, but there is something about the mountains that is like no other. And I sort of said to myself, like, Jesus, I can see why you went to the mountains, to get away from everything, to really, yeah, just when he went to the mountains, he spent time with the Lord and his Father, and yeah, it sustained him through his journey and his ministry. And yeah. And I began to think about this the other day, because it was like a year since we've been, and I began to think, actually, in the Bible, there's so much talk about mountains. So there's over 500 mountains mentioned in the Bible, Google told me. So you've got stuff like Mount Zion, Mount Carmel, you know, the Mount of Olives, and then stuff like the Mount of Transfiguration, where, you know, Jesus was transfigured, and he says his face was glowing. And you've got, like, Moses, who went up Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments, and he came down and he said his face was shining with the glory of God. And I was thinking about this. I was like, there's something about mountains which I don't understand it. And it's maybe the highest point of the earth. It's like the highest thing in the earth that is the mountain points and the mountain peaks. And maybe people believe that heaven's up there somewhere in the sky, or maybe they did believe that. I don't know what I believe, but there's something about it that's so special, and I really started to draw towards the two sort of bits in the Bible about the Mount of Transfiguration and also the Mount Sinai. So in Matthew 17, it says that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became brilliant as the light. And then in Exodus about Moses, it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. So in my mind, on the mountaintops, it's goodness, it's God's glory, it's his favor, it's him in abundance, it's him transforming, and it's him just fulfilling and goodness. And I was thinking about how a lot of the times in our life we can have mountains, we can have things that we may view as a mountain, like peak or a top of something. That's my goal, that's where I want to be, or that's what I believe God said. And we can feel like we're at the bottom, and it can take journeying to get to that point. So this morning I'm going to talk about journeying and sort of like God molding through that and sort of like the stretch zone a bit. I spoke to Naomi last week and I was like, I think I'm going to talk about the stretch zone. And then I was like, people don't really like that, but I'm still going to try and bring it in anyway. So what can some of the mountains in our life feel like or be like? And Claire and Tom, I'm sure, you know, you getting that job may have felt like a huge journey to get to that summit. And I just want to encourage you and say, you guys did awesome. Like, you're great examples. And one of the things I'm going to talk of is when you've achieved these victories, it's like the next time that something happens that you need to go up against, you've got that victory in like your bag. And you're like, come on, I've seen this once. I can trust the Lord again. So what can some of the mountains look like in our life? You know, when we're believing for someone to get saved, when we're believing for someone to give their life to Jesus, and it may feel like you're a million miles away from that. They might have said to you, like, don't ever talk to me about that again, or don't, I don't want to hear it. But you still want to see it happen. You still want to see them give their lives to Jesus, and you want to see them come into a new life. You know, it could be healing in your body or someone that you know, and you're believing for God to come in and miraculously heal them. And it might be through medicine, or it might be like a creative miracle that you want to see. And, you know, that can feel at times like a mountain. It can feel so staggering and tough and hard to believe for. Another one is probably maybe you believe you've been given a calling, or you think your calling is something, and you may feel like you're not there, or you're never going to be like that, or you're never going to be able to reach that point in your life. Or, oh, me, like, God, you really believe that I can be someone that does this or does that? So maybe that can be a mountain. And also maybe things that we've accepted in our lives and that we think will never change. So, you know, if something's broken down in your life and you don't believe God can restore that, or if, you know, there's something been plaguing you for many years and you're like, you know, it's been here too long. Like, you've accepted that it won't change. Like, these are things in our lives that are really easy to do. They're really easy to accept. And especially when the world doesn't preach anything that's true or good, it can be almost confirmation of accepting that for the rest of your life. Okay, so some of these things are mountains in our life. And I want to focus on a Swiss mountain. So this is called the Eiger. Now this is near a place called Kleine Scheidegg in Switzerland. Did I get that right, Naomi? Nice. Yes, near Grindelwald, yes. It's 3,970 meters high, which is less than half of what Everest is. This was not peaked or like ascended or conquered until 1938. And it took 3 days. So what you can see on the mountain is you can probably see like quite a shadow here. So this is what's called the north face of the Eiger. And it does not receive any sunlight. So basically what happens is, no matter the weather, it's always the worst of what it could be. So it's always cold, it's always damp, it's always wet, it's always icy, it's always snowy. And because of this, it makes climbing like impossible almost. So it's concave, it traps bad weather. People say it's hollowed out like a sick man's chest. Stones regularly come and fall down because of the conditions. There's been 65 people that have died trying to ascend this mountain. And there's a part of the mountain, which I believe is from this point up, which is vertical. So almost trying to walk up it is really quite... Well, it's not possible. So the first attempt was made in 1938 in 3 days. And this is sort of the route that they took up the mountain. And each like little corner has its own name. And it's usually given a name because of the people that died there. But it's seen as like the route to take, or the only route to take up the mountain. So the first attempt took 3 days by, I think, German and Austrian people. In 2015, a man climbed it in 2 hours and 22 minutes and 50 seconds compared to the 3 days previous. And this guy, so he climbed it in 2 hours, 22 minutes. In 2007, he climbed it in 3 hours and 54 minutes. So he shaved like a good hour and a half off his time. And what I wanted to just sort of highlight with the Eiger is we may have things in our life which are mountains, are sort of the things that are tough to conquer and tough to get through and can almost seem impossible at times, but there is a way, and sort of the path that is on this slide is maybe like the path that God wants you to take. And when you've conquered and when you've summited that you can then hold that as what I just said, like as a victory in your life, and you can see that as something, yeah, do you know what? I've done that now, I've conquered that one. And then you can run up it. And actually, when I was reading about this, they say this guy basically runs up it with ice picks. And he goes for it because he's confident in knowing that he can do it. And, you know, he summited it before in previous times and slower times, but he's getting faster and faster. And it's all about just having that in his past, that past victory and going through it. And the first time may take 3 days, but, you know, as you persevere and as you press on, that's what's going to happen in our lives and how we face these mountains. Let's just turn to Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we not rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we rejoice, sorry. Not only so, but do we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And his hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who he has given us. And I think that part of where it talks about, you know, we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And one of the prayers that I pray over my life a lot of the time of when, you know, I may be facing a mountain is, God, form me during this. Like, really build me to be the man that you want me to be. Really, I want the challenges to be able to come through it and so that you can have the man that you want. And, you know, sometimes we can shy away from these mountains in our lives and we can shy away from the things that look impossible. But actually, God wants to form us through that. He wants to really refine us like gold and silver and to really position us in a way that when we come against future mountains, we can go up them stronger and faster because of what's happened in the past. And yeah, this is a real... I believe this is like a really strong word, actually, that when we find a challenging moment, it's saying, God, okay, like I recognize that this is challenging. And by the way, God knows that he's not blind and he's not giving it to punish you, or he's not giving it to draw you off track. Actually, he's giving you that opportunity to grow and to really just build and to develop as a Christian and to expand. And sometimes, you know, there's this phrase called the stretch zone that is bandied around and people don't like it when you live in the stretch zone and your flesh cries out because the flesh hates it. But honestly, being in the stretch zone is where that, yeah, God develops you into who he wants you to be. So don't despise the moments which are uncomfortable in life and they are tough and they may be tough, but God is going to build you into someone that can climb mountains and that can achieve what you think may be unachievable. Yeah, and in the truth, in Ephesians 1, let's just read that actually. You probably don't have a translation, so I'll read it. I also pray for your heart to be filled with light, that you will see for yourself and know in your experience the hope to which he has called you, the purpose he wants to see fulfilled in your life. And knowing God in your experience, that's so important. You don't know God through hearing what other people say and, oh, you should believe this or you should believe that. Or, you know, being in London, you can go to many Christian events, but actually the true revelation of God is going to be through your experience of him. And, yeah, and the stretch zone or the times where are challenging and tough, that is where you're going to know God through your experience, when you're drawing on him, when you're saying, God, mold me, shape me, show me what you want from me. I will do it. I will journey this with you, Jesus. And I really believe that in my life, when I've said to God, you know, like, just take me through this time and take me through and shape me. And I've come out better from it. And there was some times at work before Christmas where I was on a project and it was really quite challenging. And I was dealing with a project manager who at the time seemed a bit of a demon, and she was not very nice to me. And I remember being like, God, why is this happening to me? Like, I'm a fresh graduate. Like, this isn't fair. And it, to be fair, it wasn't fair what was happening and what was being said about me. But, and do you know what? There was a period for maybe a week I was moaning and I was groaning and I found it really hard and almost, if, I don't know if you've done that where you've been praying and you've almost been like not praying, but speaking bad about someone and trying to almost like pull God onto your side. I found I was doing that on my cycle home a lot from work, like just trying to unpack and unwind when I was leaving work. And anyway, I got to the point where God was like, you know, I'm going to grow you through this. I'm going to show you something through this. And there was one day that we have like meetings on Skype, even though everyone's in the same building. Doesn't really make sense. And she'd said something and it triggered something in me, which I really did not like. So after the meeting, I decided that I'd go in the toilets and I just started to pray. And if you could see it in the cubicle, I was just like literally warring. But I was speaking blessing over this woman and just grace and success over her and success over the project and the people that had bothered me. I was like, God bless them and just grow the project and give it favor and let it produce more than it should do. And as soon as I prayed that prayer, the next day stuff was so different in how I related to this person, in how she related to me. And now, like, we speak and it's like nothing ever happened between us, and she trusts me and I trust her, and there's just so much goodness out of what could have been actually really quite horrible. Because there was times where I was literally having to fight myself to call her something back or to say something back and respond and react to her in quite a negative way. And yeah, and I think now I've learned that. I think the next time that happens, because I know it will happen, there's always going to be people in life that rub you up the wrong way. I'm going to be, actually, God, like, in that moment, you showed me that I can speak goodness and I can speak blessing and I can speak just the truth. And that felt at the time like it was a mountain, that I was at the bottom of something and it was tough, it was challenging. I never thought I was going to get through the issues with her or through the negativity of the project. But, you know, I saw the goodness of God at the end of it. And, yeah, praise the Lord. So about the Eiger, I actually watched a documentary on YouTube last night about it. It's really good. There's loads on there. They're really fascinating. And they spoke to this one climber, and he said that after he conquered, and he wasn't like now, well, basically now, in 1938, conquering the Eiger was basically really hard. It's still seen as like a mountain that if you conquer, you know, you're a decent climber, you're a good climber. And there was this one guy, and he said, now I've conquered the Eiger, I can go to the Himalayas, which is where Everest is, with a completely different mindset. And I remember thinking about that, actually, that's so true, because Everest is double that. It's harder, it's killed more people, it's taken more lives, it's another beast compared to this. But he said, actually, now I've done this, I can go to the next one and do that. And man, don't you want that from your life? You want the victories in your life that you can take and go, actually, the next one I'm having, I can view that with a different mindset. I can approach that with faith now and just see something that is far beyond what I thought I could do before. I just thought that was so encouraging. So when we mountain, obviously you don't go up in shorts and t-shirts, do you? So this actually is Everest. So this is the highest point on Earth, where oxygen is very thin, if at all. Yes. So when you're mountaineering, obviously you need a good jacket. Maybe, oh, by the way, the North Face of the Eiger is where the brand North Face comes from, if anyone wants to know that. So obviously you want a good jacket. You probably want really good trousers, good shoes to hike with, maybe a few like pickaxes, like ice axes to venture up, especially on Everest. I know you venture up like sheer ice at some points. And you probably need a good tent, and you probably need a lot of stuff to be able to get through Everest. And actually, the one thing I found amazing about Everest, and when I looked into it, was Everest takes 6 to 8 weeks to conquer, and that's not a pure climb of up. What it is you climb, and you basically meet this point, which is called the base camp. And then from the base camp, you go up and you go down back to the base camp. You go up again to the same point and you go down. You go up, you go down, you go up, you go down, basically to acclimatize to the mountain. And when I read this, I was like, man, I think sometimes in life when we can go up and we can go down, like, we view that really negatively in our situations and our circumstances, and we can almost see like it's failure and we're not going up the mountain. But actually Everest takes 8 weeks to climb. And just because it's taking time for you to see that ascension, to see that conquering of the mountain, I think they call it summiting. Don't despise the time that it takes. Like, God is conditioning you, like you would need to be conditioned to get used to the climate. I think they call it climatization. God is conditioning you so that you can summit, so that you can peak, so that you can really successfully take it. Because if you went up without that acclimatization, you would die, you would fail. And just don't despise that. Don't despise the time that it can take. So you're on the summit. I mean, you're on the base camp of Everest, and you're there in your jacket, your trousers, your shoes, your pickaxes. And, you know, God has given us the same arsenal for us to conquer our mountains in life. And if we just turn to Ephesians 6, verse 10. I'm going to read this in the truth. Oh, no, I'm not. Yeah, I am. Okay, 6:12. Your battle is not against people, but against the negative spiritual forces that influence and control them, against the spiritual rulers, authorities, and powers that are at work in this world that is in bondage to the darkness of sin. They're in a league with those evil spiritual forces that exist outside the world. So accept everything God has made available to you to enable you to stand steadfast when evil attacks. Yes, no matter what happens, you are able to stand firm and remain standing. You stand firm with his truth like a belt you keep around your waist for support. His righteousness is like a breastplate that protects you. You wear the shoes of the gospel so that you are always ready for an eventuality and can walk in peace. Your faith is like a shield that you can have to take hold of and that enables you to overcome anything the devil throws at you. The assurance of your salvation is like a helmet, protective helmet, enabling you to counter all the devil's lies and efforts to deceive you in your thinking. You not only have a defensive shield, but an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Whenever you pray, depend on the Spirit to lead you and fill your prayer with his life and power. No matter what you are asking of God, how important to pray in the Spirit continually for all your fellow believers. This is the mountaineering equipment, or the armor, the spiritual armor that God has given us to be able to plow through life, to walk forward, to take ground. So it says, you stand firm with his truth like a belt to keep around your waist for support. So you have the truth of God, the truth of who he is, and the truth about what he says about you, that you are a child and a son of God, that you are hidden in Christ, that you are seated in heavenly places. This is the truth that we can respond to lies with when God's saying, you know, you're worthless, you're no one. But actually the truth is, well, my belt says that I am a son and a child of God. Okay, you wear the shoes of the gospel that so you are always ready for an eventuality and can walk in peace. So when fear's coming up in your life, actually I've got the peace of God. I've got something that I know is sure and steadfast, and that fear doesn't have a hold on my thinking or just my actions, but actually we can respond to that fear with saying, actually, God, you know, it says you've given me peace, that the peace just gives me understanding and a sound mind. So your faith is like a shield you have to hold that enables you to overcome anything the devil throws at you. So whatever the devil's saying at you, you can use your faith as a shield to deflect and to protect yourself. The assurance of your salvation is like a protective helmet, enabling you to counter all the devil's lies and efforts to deceive you in your thinking. You have not only a defensive shield, but an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Whenever you pray, depend on the Spirit to lead you and fill your prayer with his life and power, no matter what you are asking of God. I just want to touch on this. There was a period, well, there's been like a mountain that's been in my family for like 20 years. And actually, it's going to come to a head on, I think, Thursday this week. And in my like faith life and my prayer life, I really ebb and flow with this. There's times where I can feel like completely deflated or almost like I have like no faith to see God move. And actually, what I find God does is he pokes me with stuff that provokes a reaction out of my life. And there was this one time that I got a call and it was good news. And man, I was so celebrating. And my first reaction was, I'm going to pray. So I began to pray and it felt absolutely worthless. So what I did is I got in the shower and I began to speak in tongues for like 15 minutes. And then out of that, I began to pray, and it was one of those prayers that everything that was said, I knew did something. I knew changed something. And it is all that what God has given us in this armor, that we have something that is offensive. And when it talks about praying in the Spirit, it is so powerful to pray in the Spirit. And we can really neglect this as Christians, or we can really neglect this in our prayer life. But it changed whatever was on my mind or my thinking or my natural, how I was trying to pray naturally, obviously it was not right. And through praying in the Spirit, it's like I entered in to something that was far deeper than whatever I could naturally enter into. And also with that situation this week, actually it was last week when I was walking to church, this car drove around the corner, and it's this make and model of car that is so unique and you never see them. And basically, it's related to the situation. And my jaw literally dropped. Like, I could not believe I'd seen this car. And it was like God saying, come on. Like, come on. Like, what's that triggered in your mind? Like, who's that made you think of? And I was like, yeah, crikey. So then when I started walking before seeing the car, I was just praying on my way to church. And then yesterday, when I was coming back from golf in Croydon, freezing in Chile, I saw this man wearing these shoes, and they were the exact same shoes that this person would always buy and they would always wear. And it was this, and I didn't even know you could still get them, because the reason I thought he stopped buying them was because they didn't exist anymore. And it was God just poking me and saying, come on, come on. How are you going to respond to this? What are you going to do about it? And like what Helena was saying this morning about, who's that person that you're praying for? Just bang, straight in there. I was right there again, praying for this person. Like, come on, God, I'm going to see this breakthrough this week. And like for me, this is my mountain this week that is going to get conquered. And it's through knowing in what's God given me, what's the arsenal, what am I wearing, how can I combat this? Like, what can I do about it? How can I pray and how can I go about it? Yeah. Cool, I think that's it. Claire, if you'd like to go on the keyboard. Cool, we're gonna respond to this. Actually, it's funny. I remember last time mentioning that I didn't know how long I was going to speak for. And I once heard a guy basically say, oh, we won't be remembered for our many words, and literally pray for like 15, 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, man. Oh, Lord, we thank you on the 12th of July when the sun is just coming out from the clouds, that blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Claire, if you could just play some background. Yeah. Right, if everyone liked to just stand, is that all right? Yeah, let's just fix our eyes on Jesus. Just continue from worship and the word, and just continue just to fix our eyes, Jesus. Just worship you, Jesus. So basically, I'm going to mention some things, and I'm going to pray personally for myself. And what I'd love you guys to do is for you to verbalize your response as well. Like what Helen was saying the other week, like, it's not my responsibility to pray for you or to put words in your mouth, but I want you to verbalize yourself to the Lord and to really be one-to-one with him and be honest with him. Right, I just want you to think of stuff in your life at the moment that may seem like a mountain or something that is like, God, I don't know. You know, you might be going through that today. It might be a long-term thing. It might be an issue in your finances. It might be something that you're like, God, you know, my body's like this and I don't think it can be whole. I don't think I can see the fulfillment of that. And I believe God really wants to encourage and just give a spirit of faith but also at the same time grow and build you and make you into, yeah, just a warrior and a mountaineer, someone who achieves the summit. And so, Father, I want to thank you that in my life there's things, Father, that you're going to use to transform me and to build me and to make me and to really just stretch me so that the bad stuff falls away. And Jesus, that you mold me into who you want me to be. And yeah, Jesus, I want to thank you that even though I have this mountain this week, God, I want to thank you that through challenging and mountaineering that, God, there is goodness, there is the glory of God at the pinnacle, Father. So I want to thank you for that challenge. And Father, I pray that faith would spring up in my life and faith would just ignite, Father, that I would be prepared to stand in the gap, Jesus. Father, that I would just be someone, God, who is someone who is an intercessor, God. I want to intercede, Father, for those that need it, God. I want to use what you've given me, Jesus. Father, to be used for your glory, God. Used for to see things change and see things transform, Jesus. Father, use my life, Jesus. Use my gift in Jesus. Use what is good, Father, of my life, Father. Take me, lead me, journey me, Jesus. Grow me through it, Jesus. Father, grow me, make me the man that you want me to be, Jesus. Make me the father that you want me to be, Jesus. Make me that person, Father, that can lead men, lead women, Jesus. Father, give me a humble heart, Jesus. Father, Father, Father. Jesus, Jesus. Now, I want to address the stuff which we've accepted as final and we've accepted as something which isn't going to change or move. And this might be a concept or an idea that you have about yourself, you know, that you think people don't like you, or you think that, I don't know, you could never be healthy or you could never get married. You know, I believe God wants to break that down, and he wants to say, actually, that is achievable, that is within, you know, his plan and his will for your life. And just take a moment now just to, is there anything in your life which you've accepted as the truth that is not what God says about you? Or is there anything in your life where you've gone, yeah, God, you're not going to do that. It's not changed for X amount of years. It's always been like that. When I was praying last night, God said that he wanted to heal people of broken hearts this morning. He wanted to take away what has been afflicted on you and as what you've taken as the norm. Jesus, thank you for the mind of Christ, Jesus. Thank you for the helmet of salvation, Jesus. Thank you that your word shatters thoughts, feelings, and just anything that we've accepted as the truth. But Jesus, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for your rhema word right now, God, that you're speaking, Father, into lives and into hearts, Jesus. And just this week, just show people the change, Father. Show people just a shattering. And in my life, God, show me where my thinking, where I thought things had been fixed, God. Father, reveal to me your grace and your glory, Jesus. Reveal to me the summit of those mountains, God. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe God wants to address as well where you thought, oh, I'm never going to be able to get there because I've done this, because I've done that, because, you know, I've sinned or whatever. And God's saying to you this morning that Jesus' blood broke that, that the mountain that you think that is, he shattered that, and that he casted that mountain into the sea. So if there's things in your life where you think sin or shame has got in the way, Jesus' blood covers that and it shatters that. So just respond in your heart with it. God, thank you, Jesus, for shattering sin in my life, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood has set me free. Jesus, that your truth lives in my mind, Jesus. Father, that sin won't affect my thinking, God, but it will be your truth. It will be your blood that flows through my veins, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for this week, Father, as a church, that we'd have a mindset of journeying, Father, in our own lives, but together as well, God. Father, would we be a band of brothers who journey together? Jesus, that you'd show us the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood and what it is to be a body, God, that we can't function without each part of the body, God. So, Father, I pray this week you'd really reveal to us that you are molding us, you are shaping us, you are journeying with us through life, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's really honour Nathan for that word. Brilliant word, mate. Really, really encouraging. Really encouraging, isn't it? Let's just take a seat. Amen. Okay, have you got the prayer diary thing? Just a couple of notices. You'll see on the chairs, and there's some outside as well, that we have our reading plan for February. Sorry, this is a bit late. We had a little bit of a delay on the printing. But get into the Word. We encourage you, read the Word every day. Let it be something that defines your disciplines in life. It's defined by the Word of God, okay? And it's part of your daily routine. So it's encouraging to hear what God is saying in His Word every day. We've also got, if you could pass those around, Naomi, daily prayer for the lost. For people who don't know Jesus, people, these things, we've looked at these several times and we've just put it in an easy format for you. You can keep this in your Bible. You can write down the names of those that you are believing for, that you're standing for. Put it in your Bible, and the scriptures are there for easy reference for you so that you can pray for people. Amen. This week, okay, we got groups on Tuesdays in both the southeast at Clare and Tom's. So I think the details, can we have the details up? If we can get the details up, that'd be great. If you're looking for somewhere to go midweek, we want to encourage everybody to be part of the small groups in the church. It's the way that you can do life, build in relationally and connect with others on your journey. And Tuesdays is the night that we're doing that, southeast at Tom and Claire Powers, and then they're in the southeast, and then Nathan and Naomi Bell are in Shepherd's Bush Central. So those two groups are there at the moment. You can, if you want a group in your area and you want to host something, then let us know, because we want to see groups in the north, in the west. We want to see them all around London so that it's as easy as possible for people to get to those. This Tuesday is also, in if you like, the world's calendar, what's happening on Tuesday? It's Valentine's Day. Now, do you know, I believe that there shouldn't be taboo subjects in church. We should be able to talk about everything. And the world out there is going bananas over Valentine's Day. And I, as I've been praying about this over the last week or so, I felt God say to issue a bit of a challenge to us all in this, particularly married couples, that we don't confine this to celebrating one another, that actually single, who can we include, single people in our lives? Not because it's like, oh, poor you, but because actually our true love is Jesus. Valentine's is quite a worldly, carnal celebration. And as married couples, you've got an anniversary you can celebrate one another on. So let's let this be an opportunity for us as a church to embrace particularly single people. Because often for a lot of single people, it can be a really difficult day, a challenging day, or a day they just want to get through. And we don't want those kind of taboos among us as a body. We want to be mindful. We want to gather people in. We want to draw people in. All right? So that's the mindset that we're going to have moving forward. So Tuesday is a great day for us to come together as the body. If you're a married couple, maybe invite a single person or some single people. If you're not in the groups, come and have dinner with you. Do something together with others. Is that okay? Amen. Okay, well, we're going to have some fellowship together. I don't think there's any other notices. Yes, have you got a slate for that? We're just going to just bring this as a reminder for the next couple of weeks, because on the, where is it? It was there. On the 2nd of April, you're going to get an extra hour in bed every week. Or as Jonathan said, you're going to get an extra hour to pray. We're moving the service time to 11 a.m. We would have picked 11 a.m. Initially, but we couldn't because of other bookings in this room. But from the 2nd of April, our service time will be 11 a.m. Just turn to someone and say, 2nd of April, 11 a.m. So get it in your mind. Okay, from the 2nd of April, 11 a.m. And that just gives us all a little bit of extra grace to get into the city, get here on time. Okay, there are some other, I'm not sure if there's information on the desk, but there's deadlines for Faith Camp, sign up. There's also the Big Church Day Out that we're promoting. If you want any more information on that, just come and have a chat with us and we will tell you more. But let's enjoy some tea and coffee and some fellowship. Talk to someone maybe you don't normally talk to, and we will see you all next week. Have a fantastic week.